Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tomorrow night at Cafe Lena, Pioneer Valley-based singer-songwriter and visual artist Heather Maloney will play a concert marking the release of her first full-length album in 5 years. Exploding Star, now out from Signature Sounds, is a reverie on loss and grief. A collection of songs written after her father died, Exploding Star is made up of sweet and sour memories, wistful, beautiful melodies, and a whole lot of heart. The album is produced by Darlingside's Don Mitchell, and he joins Maloney on this, the only cover on the record, Ordinary World by Duran Duran.
Came in from the rainy Thursday on the avenue. Thought I heard you talking softly. I turned on the lights, the TV, and the radio. Still I can't escape.
Mitchell's multi-instrumentalism is on display throughout Exploding Star, along with harmonies and arrangements from Maloney's tour mates and collaborators Isabella DeHert and Isaac Elliott, a.k.a. indie folk duo High Tea. All three will be joining her at Cafe Lena tomorrow night, and Heather Maloney joins us now.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to establish early that we are going to be discussing loss and grief during this album release interview because this record is a tribute to your late father. When did the music start coming, and what do you want to set the table with as part of that experience for the listeners?
It's funny that I thought, like, I've been a songwriter for, 15 plus years now. And I thought that, you know, any kind of profound life experience that I have gone through in the past, I've been able to just sort of immediately sit down and process it through songwriting. And so I thought, even when I was in anticipatory grief, like even when I knew I was losing him, I felt like I had some comfort in knowing that I was going to be able to sit and write my way through the feelings. And it really came as a surprise to me that I just could not write about the experience, what it felt like, him, any of it. I couldn't go there as a songwriter for about a year. What I've since learned to be true about grief is that it changes who you are. And it changed who I am, like not just personally, but as a songwriter. And I had to sort of reorient myself. My world felt really topsy-turvy at the time. And I'm someone who's new to grief, and I don't have a lot of peers who have also lost a parent. So I just felt kind of too disoriented to sit down and start writing right away. And so it took me about a year to get to a place where I felt like I had, you know, a firm enough footing in my experience to be able to start putting it into song.
When you started, did it come quickly?
Yes. Yeah. That was the other strange thing, is that as a songwriter, I'm a big editor, and I, you sort of in my catalog of songs, I think I'm at a few hundred songs now, and I feel like 90% of them are songs that developed, you know, over time with a lot of careful editing, and maybe about 10% were those like magical little miraculous things that fell from the sky and into my lap, and they were perfect as they showed up, in my opinion. but for the most part, it's a little bit of toiling to get it to match up to any, you know, vision I have for it. But when I first started writing this body of work, the first song that came out was the title track, Exploding Star.
Are you floating in the cosmos, finally free from time, while I'm down here on the highway looking for signs? Will I finally find me a place to draw a line between the whole damn rest of it in my own little mind? Or am I down?
And it was just like a floodgate was opened because the song just burst out of me, and I didn't edit it at all. It's, and it's so many words. I mean, it's like a very lyric heavy song. The whole thing is just a string of questions, and they all just came tumbling out one after the other. And I just, and after, you know, after that sort of floodgate opening songwriting experience, I sat and I looked at the song and I was like, I'm not going to touch this one. It's so it was one of those few that kind of came out and was, you know, what it was going to be. And then right after that, the songs sort of all followed in its wake. So
let's share some of this. What I will say I did feel was a perfect encapsulation of the questions that you're faced with when you lose someone. Let's share a little bit of that now.
Should I be looking for your message in cloud shapes, snowflakes, eyes to the sky for some almond golden light to warm your empty chair, song for the heavy air, coincidence, significance to believe you're there? Is it you? Is it me? Injecting it with meaning, does it matter? And the matter that we're made of is the same. I'll just wait, I'm just space, with a view of sad cells that take shape of a person without their person in this unfathomable place. And I emptied out your house like a slowly exploding star. I scattered you aside,
the title track from Heather Maloney's new record, Exploding Star. It is now available from Signature Sounds, and Heather is playing a show at Cafe Lena on February 14th at 8 p.m. You have played the songs in your hometown. You had a couple shows last weekend. How did that go? What was it like to put them up and out in front of people in your, at Iron Horse? The best venue, one of the best venues there is. I shouldn't say the best because you are playing Lena, which is another best, but at Iron Horse.
Yes, I know all these legendary rooms, just incredible. And this past weekend, and this is the first time in a while anyway that I've launched a tour in my hometown. I kind of find myself like ending tours in the hometown, which is also has a sweetness to it, but this was really helpful for me, like emotionally, because this is such a, you know, this is an intense record in a lot of ways, and it's a really vulnerable one. And so I was really happy when the tour worked out so that I would start it at my hometown, so that its very first, you know, moments out in the world, you know, in contact with people, felt like a very safe and supportive, you know, loving hometown crowd. So that was wonderful. And the band that I have at this particular moment that will be at Cafe Lena is just phenomenal. Like it couldn't be a better lineup. Everybody actually that is playing with me played on the record, so that really helps. But so that was a really sweet and wonderful part of it. I got Don Mitchell. He's in a band called Darling Side that
listeners will be familiar, because I love Darling Side, and I every time an album comes out, we play it on the station.
Oh, the best. They're all the best. And I'm such a huge fan too. And yeah, Don produced the record, and it's such a treat to have him be playing these release shows. And then I've got the original group that I worked out the arrangements with, High T, Isabella DeHert and Isaac Elliott they're a duo called High T. They're phenomenal as like on their own and as they are. And then, you know, getting to have them as collaborators on the record and on this tour is just also a total dream. And I had bass player and piano player Reed Sutherland at those hometown shows as well. So that was like amazing. And then I'll just say that, like, for me, and I'm still digesting, you know, this tour kickoff, but I think maybe the most like the words that kind of encapsulate the experience of the show the most for me was that I've never felt so much joy and grief on one stage. It just felt like we are kind of creating a container and a show that's a bigger container than I feel like I've participated in before, like, and can hold a lot within it. And it just was very gratifying.
I understand you recorded for a couple of days in your childhood home. How did that happen? And tell us what that was like.
Yeah, we did. I was so fortunate to have gotten a tip from a very long time family friend, almost like a godfather type of figure, who I'm still in touch with. And was a neighbor of, you know, when I was a kid growing up in that house. And so he let us know that that house was empty, it was vacated. And when I got that information, we were working on the record. We had just started pre-production. And so it was like another one of those stars aligning things that kind of happened throughout making this whole record. But getting that information and just starting to work on the record, I was like, oh my gosh, like we should try to get in there. And crazily enough, when I walked through that door, which it had literally was like 30 years since we left, I looked around and everything that my parents had done when they renovated it, every tile they laid, every, you know, floorboard, everything, the paint color, everything, the carpet in my childhood room, everything was exactly the same. It was crazy. It was a total time capsule.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that. And so I think it just really all worked to transport me directly into those memories that I was writing about. So it was really intense. It was really, and I don't want to say it was just, you know, profoundly sad, because it was, but it was also like I was a little kid again when we were in there, and to be making music from that, you know, place was really something special. And I don't know that I ever would have had the right circumstances around me to like really put me there when I'm performing or recording or whatever. It was like, it was so lucky. And now it's just like something that I treasure. And I'm so glad that I have like an audio, I was able to capture that experience in audio form, you know, to take with me. Yeah. Because someone lives in the house now and I'm sure it's different. So it was a start.
Better not be.
I know.
Although maybe a carpet does need to be replaced after more than 30 years. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh, it doesn't matter.
I want it though. Just cut me a little piece of it.
I went down an old path all the way back in the late summer long grass. You in the sunset made you a silhouette. Light leaks and vignettes in a field I cannot forget. I felt it with my bare feet. I felt it in my soles. Running free, running to you backlit on the mower. You turned to wave me over. Sunlight in my eyes and a wall of grass on either side. And I see you laughing,
I see you laughing.
But all I hear is the engine. You made a maze, but I'm small and I can only see the walls. And little gnats and bits of grass floating upwards in your path. A golden snowfall in rivers. And you made a labyrinth in the weeds. A labyrinth in the weeds. You made a labyrinth in the weeds. A labyrinth in the weeds.
Is that house the yard where Labyrinth in the Weeds takes place?
Yes, it is. Again, like we didn't plan this, but where we set up my microphone was looking out that window at that field. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the house. It's in very rural part of New Jersey, kind of close to the Appalachian Trail, and I know people don't think of New Jersey and think of
Fields,
fields and
even though it's the
woods and
Garden State.
exactly. But that's exactly where that house was situated, in really beautiful, picturesque part of New Jersey.
I want to play some of Labyrinth in the Weeds, but first, could you set it up for us a little bit more than we already have?
That song is pretty much entirely written about a childhood memory, and one of my favorite childhood memories with my dad. One of the most important things to him was to have fun. Having fun was so important to him. And so even when it came to doing chores, there was sort of a way that he figured out, like, how do we make this chore into something fun? And so he would mow that field at the end of the summer every year. And instead of just like mowing it in straight lines and getting it done, he'd go out and, the grass would have been growing all summer, so it was really high. And he would just weave through in all these wacky ways. And my brothers and I would just be running behind. And it was like, a really early memory, so it's kind of etched into me, but also just such a perfect, image of my dad, being so dad like, and taking care of us, but also having fun. And so Labyrinth in the Weeds is largely about that memory, and then it's also sort of about it kind of develops later in the song, to be a little bit more about how that shaped me as well as a person. And we were able to I found the family home video footage of my dad and of the family, the whole family, walking through that field for the first time before my parents bought the house. And so Don took the audio from that home video footage and, helped me build this like sort of cinematic sweeping bridge in the middle of the song, with that home video footage in it. So it was really it. Again, the stars just aligned with that. So yeah,
It's beautiful,
thank
absolutely
you.
beautiful. That's some of Labyrinth in the Weeds from Heather Maloney's new album, Exploding Star. Heather is playing with High Tea at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs on February 14th at 8 p.m. You are also a linocut artist and an artist in other mediums as well, but you have created images for the album artwork and for some of the music videos. What is it like for you to incorporate both of your art, or all of your artistic practices into one thing at a time, if it even feels like one thing when you do it that way.
I've always loved making visual art, and I come from a family of visual artists. Funnily enough, I don't have a lot of musicians in my immediate family, but a lot of artists. And my mom is an amazing artist. She's a painter. She painted the album cover. But I've never been able to, like, as a working musician, you know, the majority of my income comes from touring. And that really just leaves not a lot of time to get to put into my visual art. And then when the pandemic happened and all of my shows were canceled, I suddenly was, you know, I found myself having a lot of time. And also I lost my dad during the pandemic. So, you know, and as I said, I wasn't songwriting in the beginning of it, but I needed some sort of an outlet. And I'd always loved doing lino cuts. And that was, I think I gravitated toward it pretty quickly because of, like, it's a very, like, carving is such a, like, a cathartic, carving away at something just felt like viscerally very, like, you know, I was able to kind of do something with my hands that felt creative that wasn't songwriting. So it was like the perfect outlet for me at the time for so many reasons. And then I just really fell so much in love with it that I was thinking, oh no, like when things really go back into the full swing, how am I going to be able to have this too?
Right. Can I lug around these blocks and tools and the rolly thing and ink? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like it's a work in progress for me. I'm still trying to figure out how to integrate the two. And if it's music videos or making, you know, with this album, I wanted to do a lino cut block for each song. And pick a lyric that felt like it, I wanted to have some, like, shine a little bit more light on, you know, a specific little string of lyrics for each song. And then like pick imagery that helped to sort of like further crystallize the meaning of the song. So like everything was very intentional, you know, in making the art for each song. I've wonderfully and beautifully and gratefully, I've gotten a lot of nice feedback about the lino cuts, and people seem to want to buy them, which is really nice because
they're beautiful, Heather.
Oh,
they're really
so
lovely. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah. I, you know, I'm sort of, I feel like I'm very much like publicly learning and playing, which is such a nice, you know, feeling to be playing with something that doesn't feel like it has as much sort of weight and pressure as my music outlet does. It's sort of still, not that music isn't mine, but it's a sort of, you know, in a place where there's a lot more people involved, and the art is like very much mine. So that's nice. And I'm figuring it out. I'm figuring out how to integrate the two, and that feels like a journey that I definitely want to continue to be on.
We are unfortunately out of time, even though I would like to continue speaking with you for at least the rest of today. but we got to wrap it up and share a little more music. So I hope that your container for joy and grief follows you on the road, and you have a great tour. And congratulations, and thank you for Exploding Star. It's a wonderful, wonderful album.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for all you do for the music community. The support is so appreciated. Thank you.
Heather Maloney's new album, Exploding Star, is available now from Signature Sounds. She's on tour playing Cafe Lena tomorrow night at 8 p.m. The show will also stream on Cafe Lena TV. To learn more, visit cafelena.org or heathermaloney.com, and those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. We'll leave you with one more song from Exploding Star. This is Leave It to Them. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.
Leave it to the chain link fence to storm drain cigarettes. Leave it to cobwebs on swing sets and long forgotten toys. Leave it to the empty chair still holding your shape there. Leave it to the stains and tears and curbside where it sits collecting rain. Leave it to them. Leave it to them, 'cause there are no
measure up to the size of the space left behind in your wordless wake. So I'll leave it to them. A fluorescent light, the gas station in the middle of the night. Leave it to the poems they write for their lonely lives on the dirty bathroom wall. Leave it to the rain that pours and that slowing breath of yours. Leave it to minor chords and troubadours and songs that ache so pure. Leave it to them. Measure up to the size of the space left behind in your wordless wake. So I'll leave it to them. Tattered in the dogwood bloom. Leave it to the crimson moon hanging over you in your childhood photograph. Leave it to the scrubs you wore to see me in when I came to the world. And that same old uniform still in your drawer that I wore to see you out. Leave it to them. To them, leave it to them, leave it to them, leave it to them, cause there are no words I could say that measure up to the size of the space left behind in your words.